Father, we're thankful, dear God, to be here this morning, Lord, in your house. Lord, we're thankful for you gracing us with your presence, dear Lord Jesus. We ask, God, now for you to come and anoint your word, anoint, Lord, your vessel, that you may be able to come, Lord, and that we may be able to speak to the people, Lord, something, Lord, that will be a help to them, Lord. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to read verses 10 through 18. And what I have to speak on this morning has been on my heart for some time. And sometimes most of the time when I take these trips and go away, well, I have time to gather some more things and messages get laid on my heart. And so this was laid on my heart while I was in. And so this morning what we want to preach on is demons. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Amen. You may be seated. I want to look back over verse 11 talks about the wiles of the devil. We know that's his cunning acts, his deceit. He's crafty, and he uses trickery. But verse 12, I want to really focus on. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And the word principalities there is referring to the origin or the leader. Against powers. This word powers refers to jurisdiction or the power of authority, of influence, the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. So it's talking about influence and submitting. Against the rulers, this refers to the devil and the demons that are called this, and it also says the prince of this age, and of the darkness of this world, and it speaks of the ignorance of respecting divine things, human duties, and the accompanying of ungodliness and immorality, together with their consequent misery. You think these things that are on people, that they don't leave them miserable? The devil tricks them into thinking that they're going to be happy. These things will make them happy, but in the end, it ends up making you miserable. Persons in whom darkness becomes visible and holds sway. I'm talking about the darkness of the world. He's talking about persons whom the darkness becomes visible and holds sway. Against spiritual wickedness, evil purposes, and desire in high places. This is meaning celestial. These are dimensions of that are beyond this dimension. Brother Branham reads this very scripture in Israel and the church, and he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." See where our wrestle is today. See what the death angel is. It's spiritual power, wickedness in high places, great places, big places. Rulers of darkness. Who rules the world? The devil. Who is in all things going on, all these ungodly things going on, and all around through here, these governments and so forth, it's all the devil. He goes on to refer to this in the same message, Israel and the church. And he speaks about where it's saying, gird up your loins with the truth. And he says, it's the belt that holds the rest together. Gird up your loins with truth. In the day, brethren, when there's all kinds of isms and fanaticism, and it's time to gird yourself with the truth. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the truth. The truth I tell you. When people say, what about this and what about that? It's good to see that old truth buckled around you. Isn't it? Know where you're standing. Then stand there. Let them say, well, you have this or that or the other. You know where you're standing. Have the whole armor buckled on and girded around here, buckled down good and tight, and pulled down with the truth of God's word anchored in your heart. All the devils in hell can't upset you. You can meet Satan then. Now, the message of glorified Jesus, Brother Branham talks about dimensions. And he starts off with saying there's a dimension that we live in. And he says there's a trinity of dimensions that go either way from the dimension we live in. And he says that men are influenced by one side or the other outside of this dimension. And he says, this side comes from God, and that side comes from the devil. Now he said, you take a conglomerate of blackness and gaiety and muck and sin and divisiveness in this world. Every once in a while, you'll see a little white spot. That's a Christian, like a light. Now, those that are in darkness are influenced from beneath. Those that are lights are influenced. Now, what it means by the Prince of Persia, it was the devil that held that area. The prince of the demons that held that area. Look, angels are have ranking. So do demons. They did not lose that ranking when they got cast out of heaven. There are some that are ranked higher than others. And this Prince of Persia was high ranking, had much authority, which meant he had many demons fighting for him. So Michael and an army of angels had to come down and wage war just so this one little messenger angel could get through to Daniel. And after the angel talked to Daniel, he said, I must return and fight with Michael against the Prince of Persia. He told Daniel, he said, I heard you. God heard you, but I couldn't get to you until I got some help. Now, the Bible says that your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. I want you to know something about that word devour. That means to totally be consumed. He goes about seeking whom he may devour. How does he do that? He looks for an opening. He looks for a weakness. He looks for a leak, a weak link. He looks for a way that he might be able to influence you. Because that's how it works. The Branham says in the demonology, religious realms, he said, Satan goes about like a roaring lion everywhere, devouring what he will. We realize these old devils of sickness coming upon your children, but there is an atonement to take care of that. All these devils that cause people to sin, but we've got an atonement that'll take care of that. So we've got an atonement that'll take care of this whole thing about the demons. Look, friends, demons may be powerful, but they have to bow to the word of God. And a saint of God with the word of God and filled with the Holy Ghost, the devil has no power over them. He might be able to come and torment you and battle you in your mind and give you thoughts that are not your thoughts and make it rough on you and try to make you feel down and all these different things and battle against you in your mind, because we know, Brother Brown said, that's where the greatest battle ever fought takes place, is in the mind of the human beings. But he can't touch that soul. And that's why demons of sickness that get on people can be cast out. And when they go out, these demons of cancer and growths, tumors, when they go out, the life, Brother Branham said, goes out of that growth. And then when it does, them cells die. And he says, and it calls the individual that has it, it can cause them, and he's talking about divine healing now, not miracle. And he said it causes them to get sicker. Why? Because they got something dead on them. But then he said, just keep believing that thing is leaving. Because it's dead. But there's demons that will bring sickness upon you. Now, medical science has ways of trying to deal with the different diseases and so on, and giving you medication and all these different things, and I'm not against that. But I'm here to tell you, you can get delivered. One time, I heard Brother Branham on a tape bring out, he said, you know, I suffered from allergies, and I was allergic to about everything. They tested me and said the only thing I wasn't allergic to was cockroaches. You can see how happy I was about that. But I've suffered from allergies real bad. And boy, when springtime would come, man, it tore me up. Anytime the pollen was up and all these things shaking out, and then when the moss and mildew and all that stuff would grow, boy, it'd just tear me up. But then I heard one time Brother Branham called out somebody from the audience that had allergies. And he said, you can be delivered of them allergies. And when I heard that, I no longer believed I had to live with that thing. And once I believed I didn't have to live with it, I didn't have no more allergies. I don't. I can mow grass. Don't bother me a bit. I can walk out in the woods. I can walk out when pollen's flying everywhere and covering your car in yellow dust. Don't bother me a bit. Why? I found out I didn't have to live with that. faith took hold. And when once faith took hold, that devil that was anointing me with that allergies had to leave. God didn't make you to have allergies. It's these high-bred processed foods and things we eat that weakens these bodies. There won't be no allergies in heaven. The devils cause people, he said, to sin. Now, we know there are places we all know where demons hang out. We know that the bar is going to be full of devils. We know that the nightclubs are going to be full of devils. And you can stay away from them places. But in this world, we cannot completely avoid contact with demons, because they're everywhere. Sometimes they're in the church. People bring them in with them. You know what it does? It hinders the service. But every once in a while, you'll see the Christians push through that cloud that tries to come over and break into that realm of worship. And the presence of God will come down, and then the angels of God are about those that praise the name of the Lord, and the angels of God gather around, and when they do, the demons got to step back. Brother Branham said, you say amen, and you'll throw off 1,000 demons this way. Say amen again, you'll throw off 10,000 demons that way. That's why it's important to get into church when you're in church. Be part of it, not just sitting there like a bump on a pickle. Be part of it. Be a participator. Amen? Not a spectator, but a participator. Participate in it. Demons hang out in stores. They sit on clothes racks to try to influence you what clothes to buy. I don't know how many of you've noticed, but in a lot of stores, I noticed one. I was out shopping for a new suit, and I noticed in this one store, they have changed mannequins. They have changed them to be a little bit more anatomically correct, if you know what I mean. And then they put these clothes on them to show you just how sexy it'll look. And there's billboards everywhere. Billboards advertising beer. You tell me there ain't no demons around that or inspired that. There sure is. They'll show some guy holding a beer and having two girls in bikinis standing next to him. Like drinking that beer is going to make that happen. I'm not against anybody, and I'm not preaching against anybody today, except the devil. I want that guy exposed. I'm tired of the devil having his way with my children. By that, I'm talking about all of you. Sets in restaurants. All you got to do is order that first drink, and here will come a demon and say, well, there's my opening. Airports. Airports have signs and things up everywhere. I'm going to tell you something. I've been over to the Philippines now, I guess, about 3 times. And I've seen things in some of the other countries, but the Philippines, believe it or not, in some areas are ahead of other third world countries of the world. And one of the things they're headed, they love shopping malls. And in their shopping malls, they have a big advertisements. Their shopping malls are huge. They'd make the little ones you've saw around Nashville look like department stores. They're huge, and they got huge signs inside of them. Brother Phil's been in. And on these signs, they can't advertise tennis shoes without putting sex with it. Everywhere you look, it's sexy this and sexy that. So if you dress this way and dress that way, advertise. Look, let me ask you something. If they never advertised underwear again, would you stop wearing it? So why do they got to advertise it? They advertise it for a reason. And there's spirits of lust around these things. Look, I'm not talking about things that go on between a husband and wife. I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about, the debauchery of this world. Bible says in marriage, the bed is sacred. But I'm talking about all the immorality of this world. I wouldn't want my wife, and I never had my daughters going around parading their bodies. I don't know how. I've thought about this. How in the world? And I've saw fathers, families, men and women, husband and wife, mom and dad, and teenage daughters, and all of them stripped down. And I wonder, how in the world does the dad live with them daughters like that? Because a dad would say, I don't want to see that. But there's perversion in the world. Friends, it's demonic influence. None other than influence from hell. And that's why you've got to have on the full armor of God. That's why you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. One of the problems is we get people in, and they listen to the message, and they listen to what's being preached, and they get their lives cleaned up, you know, and they get sanctified, cleaned up, things emptied out, and then they stop right there. And the Bible says when a spirit has gone out of a man, it walks in dry places. And finding no place of rest says, I'll return again to my house. Talking about the body it came out of. And it says when it comes back with seven other demons. So it's important not just to get cleaned up, but to get the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because that being filled with the Holy Ghost and having on the whole armor of God is the only way you're going to be able to stand in this day. There was years ago when I was in college. There was this woman, I can't remember her name right now. She was Jewish, and she was a psychiatrist. And she had a program on the radio, and people would call in to her and ask her about certain things, and she would give them advice. But one of the things I can remember her saying was a phrase she used was called tough love. Now, I take that and I go to what I know. And I find out that agape love by this world can be interpreted as tough love. But this world wants to interpret it as no love. I love my children. I love my sons and my daughters, and they'll always be my sons and daughters. But I have no love for the devil. And I don't want the devil's influence on them. If we realized, could look into that other realm and see the way demons are moving, and we see that, you know, when a woman dresses in these lustful ways, it causes lustful spirits to follow around, just waiting for some man to look in lust on that woman. Well, I want you to know something. In this sick, perverted world that we live in, there are also pedophiles. And I know if there's anything normal about you, you would not be able to understand what in the world motivates these pedophiles. But it's a demon. But how could they look on a little child and lust after him? But they do. And when these pedophiles are caught, you know what? I read time after time after time after time, and they'll turn around and blame it on the child. Say the way they were dressed, they was asking for it. They wanted it. But who dressed them children? My son, John, talked to me and his mother. And my oldest granddaughter, she's 10 years old. She's 10, going on 17. She looks about 13. She's real tall for her age, and she doesn't look like she's 10 years old. People mistake her for being a teenager. But because she's so tall and the way she's made, she can't fit in normal 10-year-old clothes. So she has to go up to the teenager's clothes to try to get something to wear. And John was all upset about it because he said the way the clothing was, you can't find clothing to cover her up with. He said you look at, find her size and try to find like a t-shirt, a girl's t-shirt. He says, and you can't get it, it's fitting too tight. Mina said, that's why your sisters... they wouldn't wear girls' t-shirts. But here he's troubled about it. Why? Because now he's got a daughter, and in these teenage clothes, they got clothes that is stripped off and showing their bodies. It's all around school. That's why the schools, and I've read about this over the past few years, it has been going from school to school to school to school that they're having to put in new dress codes. And some of them are having to come up with uniforms. Why? Because the girls won't keep their chest covered up. And the boys won't keep what they got covered up. get into the home. Because mom and dad lets it get into the home. And you'll stand guilty before God on that day when some pedophile lusts after your kid because you dressed them that way. I know you ain't used to me preaching this way, but something's got a hold of me. Go out here and everywhere it seems like I look, there's a fad going on now. Now, it was common for people. You see some guy that's been in the military. It's not uncommon for you to see them having a tattoo. It seemed like a thing, you know. But they didn't cover their body in them. They had maybe one, two tattoos, and that's about it. It was, I don't know, it was a thing that seemed to, you find an old serviceman, and you'll about nine times out of ten, you'll find out they got a tattoo. But it's went beyond that today. It's went beyond that to where now they got what they call sleeves. And I don't know what they call it when the arms and chest and everything's covered all the way up to the neck. I guess they call that a shirt. And I'm going to tell you how insane it's got. I got to thinking in my mind while I was gone. I got to thinking about these things. And I got to thinking about what would them tattoos look like when somebody gets old. And so I thought, I'll just see. You can Google about anything. But here's what I discovered. I thought I would discover people who had got tattoos when they were young, and then when they got old, they were showing these tattoos. No, that is not what I discovered. What I discovered, this epidemic has got so bad that old people are getting their first tattoos. And old people are getting shirts, if that's what they're called. And they get tattoos on their face. And I got to wondering, some of these pictures, how in the world could you have any modesty and get some of the tattoos that they got? Some of the tattoos, you have to expose yourself in order to get one. And piercings. Say, well, Brother Jerry, you know, that's just your opinion. Leviticus 19:28. You almost remember that like a year. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. You know, there's still cultures that still do that. To mourn their dead, they make cuts in their skin. Some of them fill the cuts full of the ashes of the deceased. I ain't making this up. Like I said, you can Google anything. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. I looked that up, and that's the King James Version. In the American Standard Version, it says, thou shalt not put any tattoos upon you. Now, how could they interpret that as putting marks on you as tattoos? Because they went, it was the Polynesians, is where the word tattoo originated from. And what they would do is they would take and make this is what I read. They would make punctures in the skin and fill them full of some kind of ink in order to make these marks upon their bodies. Well, if you know anything about tattoos, that's exactly the way they make tattoos. It's my fault for never preaching this before. But now I've preached it. Now it's on your hands. Tell me it ain't inspired by the devil. When they go to putting marks and things on their face, and it makes, you know what they're representing eventually? Because some of the marks they put are not pictures of stuff. You know, some get tattoos of flowers or tattoos of a horse or tattoos of, I don't know, whatever, you know. Or they get writing. And that was also what it said. The Polynesians used to mark themselves with tattoos of writings upon their bodies. But there's some tattoos that you look at, you cannot figure out what they are. You ask an individual, what is that? And they'll tell you what it is, and you'll say, I'd have never guessed. Well, some of these things are what they call tribal, whatever that means. Tribal. Now, there was in other countries where there are tribes, and this especially seems to be relevant in part countries in Africa, where they put marks upon their bodies and upon their faces and other places and things, and their markings, and to them they have some meaning. You look at them and just look like a marking to you. But to them, they have some kind of tribal meaning. And these people here in America are putting tribal markings on their faces. They're putting markings on themselves, and they don't even know what they mean. Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist the devil. Don't go into these places. There's demons there to inspire. I'm sorry, I never preached on this particular subject before. But I was inspired and got to looking this stuff up. Things are with you forever. Everywhere. Brother Bam talks about angels. He says angels will gather into a building where there's believers and the word's being preached. And he says these angels will stand guard at the pews. And said when the Holy Ghost begins to call, make a call to the people for repentance or to receive the Holy Ghost or something that they need to come up front for, says an angel will be there to kind of nudge them and try to get them to go. Now, that nudge won't be felt physically, but in their spirit realm, they'll feel that maybe I should go. But as sure as there's angels there trying to urge you to go, there are demons that have been brought in. Sometimes you bring them in with you if you ain't under the blood. And those demons will be there to try to discourage you. And they'll be there to put a thought in your mind, well, that's just what he thinks. I'll be honest with you. I was never against tattoos until I got to studying on all this stuff. Because I didn't know it was in the Bible that way. And I just didn't think too much about it. But the more this has become an epidemic, the more I got to looking into it. But devils are powerless once they're exposed. That's the one thing that will hurt the power of them demons is when them demons get exposed. One time, Jesus went to Gardenia. And when he got there, there was a man that lived among the tombs that cut himself. They'd try to bind him with chains, and he'd break the chains. And he had a family, but he wasn't with his family. He was living up among the tombs and tormented day and night with demons. And he had so many demons that when the man come down to Jesus, the Bible says, and fell at his feet, which makes me to realize this, it don't matter how many devils an individual's got, there can be something down in them that says, I want to be delivered. And when that man got before Jesus, then them devils began to speak. And he said, who are you? He said, we are called legion, for we are many. The Bible never gives the man's name. People refer to him as legion. But that wasn't his name. That was what that horde of demons that possessed that man was called. They said, why have you come to torment us before our time? See, they know their time is coming. They know their time is coming. And they said, if you're going to cast us out, let us go over into this herd of swine. You know, there are certain animals that are susceptible to carry evil spirits. Let's go over into this herd of swine. And Jesus cast him out and told him to go on. He gave him leave to do it. And they got into them swine, them pigs. And when they did, it ran them off a cliff right into the water and killed every last one of them. Them were some dumb devils. But see what it influenced them pigs to do? Them pigs got influenced by demons. The same demons that was influencing that man to live among the tombs and cut himself and bring harm to himself day and night. And that man was set free. And the dignitaries of the city heard of what had happened. And they heard what had happened to their swine. And they got angry. And come up, and the Bible said when they come up, they find that man that had been among the tombs sitting there and in his right mind. But instead of them rejoicing about it, they were upset. And they ask Jesus, they press upon him to leave their coasts. Now, studied through historical writings and found out that Gardenia, how they made their living, their commerce was based on their swine. That's how the commerce of that place was based on. That's what they produced. That was their product. That's what they used to trade and market with. And this man had come into their midst and ruined their product. He made them just about go broke. Now, here's what I want to really point out to you. The people in that town were not influenced by heaven. So that means they were influenced by hell. It wasn't heaven influencing them, telling them, Jesus, you depart from our coast. That was devils influencing them to say, we want you gone. These people that was in there, they weren't serving God. Let you know how much the devil thinks of his own people. He about made the whole area go broke. Why you reckon they done that? Because they wanted Jesus gone out of there. That's why they influenced them swine. Go kill themselves so that they could influence the people of the city to say, leave us. Get out of here. And the man that was delivered told Jesus he wanted to go with him. Jesus told him, no, go back home. Brother Branham said he had a family. Told him to go back and witness of what had been done. So among all of this darkness, there was one little speck of light. Jesus many times cast out devils. And there was one time that Jesus, there was one brought to him that was possessed with a devil. And the young man was blind and dumb and couldn't speak. And he was blind. And it was this devil that he was possessed with that made him blind and made him where he couldn't talk. And Jesus cast the devil out, and the young man was healed, insomuch that he saw again, the Bible said, and began to talk. The Pharisees heard about it, and they said, this fellow doth cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. In other words, this man's got a devil on him. That's how he's casting these devils out. Ain't got nothing to do with God. And Jesus said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? But if I be Beelzebub, if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. A house divided, that means a devil can't cast out a devil. A house divided can't stand. Abraham Lincoln used that scripture during the time of the Civil War. Speaking about the states, said a house divided cannot stand. Mark 1:34. Speaking of Jesus, said he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. So not only he cast them out, but he wouldn't even let them talk before they got cast out. Because he didn't want them. What are they going to say? What are thou, Son of God, to do with us? Mark 1:39 said, and he preached in the synagogues throughout Galilee and cast out devils. Mark 3 says he ordained the 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sickness and cast out devils. And he said about them 12 that he sent out to preach. He said, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart, shake off the dust from under your feet for a testimony against them. For verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. What about people who have sat under the preaching of the true word of God? Well, these people had sat under the true preaching of the word of God. And Jesus said, if they won't receive you, if they reject you, then shake the dust off your feet from that place as a testimony. And he said, it'll be better for Sodom and Gomorrah in the judgment than it will be for those people who rejected you. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And in Mark 16, it goes to the resurrection of Jesus. And it says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. Jesus said, once he was risen, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. The book of Acts said God performed special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from Paul's body, they brought handkerchiefs and aprons and pieces of cloth from Paul. And when they brought these to the sick and so forth, it said the diseases departed from them. And when they brought these cloths to those that were blessed with spirits, it said, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now, there's no one sitting here this morning that doesn't believe this is true and doesn't know that casting out devils is real. I couldn't wait till the anniversary. I had to preach it today. But on August the 12th, there's an anniversary coming up. It's the anniversary of when David Horner got delivered of the devils that was on him. And I'll tell you this, you can't tell me that I didn't cast out devils because I was there. I don't believe you could tell Brother Jim either because he was standing right there with me. And through me, the Holy Spirit started to call them devils out by what they was. And they began to come out of him one by one. Then it got down to a place, the Holy Spirit said through me, oh, now all the rest of you come out. Boy, I'll tell you what, that prince of them demons that had a hold of Brother David did not want to come out. And it began to take him and shake him and began to, his body began to buck and buckle. And I was holding on to him and I thought this thing's going to take us both in the floor. So I just grabbed a hold of his arm and pulled him in closer to me and held on. I wasn't about to let him go. That devil, I was determined, was coming out. Then all of a sudden he began to make a sound like he was retching. He actually began, his body began to convulse. And it began, just like that. We still got the tape. Or CD, whatever it is. And that thing came out. And set him free. Now, he's had a lot of maturing to do. God's had to work on him a lot. He didn't get delivered and come out perfect. But he got delivered. And you know it's real. Every one of you that was sitting here on that day know it's real. And I know Jessica wasn't here on that day, but I got Nate to give me the CD, and I took the CD to her, and I said, you need to listen to this. The last scripture I read you out of Acts was the very scripture I took my text on for that day, where they took handkerchiefs off the body of Paul. And when they laid him on those that was possessed with spirits, the evil spirits came out of them. Now, you got a choice to make. Some of y'all are sitting here and you know that you got devils that's been influencing you. You have to know by today. You got a choice to make. You can either walk out of here with them or you can walk out without them. Because the Spirit of the Lord is here. You can be free. I'm not telling you this is your last chance or your last opportunity. I'm not feeling moved on the Lord to say that. There was a man, maybe a couple of years older than me. He's originally from West Virginia, from the area where I was from. And he and his mother had moved to the Carolinas. His mother passed away. I'm 56 and a half years old. He was a couple of years older than me. And everything seemed fine with him. And he got a bull that appeared on his side, on his hip. And he didn't go get it took care of. And that thing become infected. And that infection went through his body. And what you would have thought would have been an easy cure killed him. He died quick from a boil that got infected. His brother went down there to try to see to things. He got down there when he was on life support before he passed from this life. And his brother got down there and he said, Eddie, if you've ever prayed in your life, you need to pray right now. And he said there was no response from Eddie. And he said Eddie went out of this life the way he was. It saddened his brother very much. Every year, around prom time, Dixon most generally over in front of Walgreens will pull a trailer up there. The police do it, I guess. They pull a trailer up there that's got a car on it that's wrecked almost beyond recognition. It was drove by teenagers during prom night. They got drunk and they died. And they bring it out there to try and put a message by it, to try to get these young people not to drink and drive. But every year, there are casualties. Young people going out of this life. Craig Morgan lives here in Dixon. He had a boy just a few years ago, graduated from high school, went out boating. They was pulling around these inner tubes on the back of the boat. Somehow it flipped him off, and they didn't find him. They searched and searched and searched for his body, and when they finally found it, they determined that when it flipped him off, he broke his neck, so he didn't drown, but he died. He had just graduated high school and died. There was a man used to come to the church in Ohio. And he worked for Ford Motor Company. And Ford was shutting down a plant up there in Lorain. So they made available for the men that worked there, if they wanted to transfer out to other plants, they could. So he was going to transfer out to the Louisville plant. But he never went and asked for prayer, asked the pastor to pray with him or talk to the pastor about it. He just made up his mind that's what he was going to do. And when his mother-in-law said something to him about leaving the church, he said, "They ain't the only apple on the tree." Said, "There's a church down there in Louisville." Then the pastor talked to him, which was my dad, and told him, "It ain't God's will for you to go. If you go, bad things are going to happen." And he said, Is that thus saith the Lord, Brother Browning? My dad looked at him. He said, yes, it is. But he went anyway. A few years older than me. His family broke up. His daughter lives down here in this area. Every once in a while, her and a couple of her kids will come in and visit us. His wife eventually got the pull of the Lord to get right. She moved back up to Ohio. She was dying of cancer. And the Lord healed her in the service. And during one of the services, the Lord healed her. His son died of a drug overdose. He recently, last weekend, he made a trip up from the area he lived in Kentucky back up to Lorraine. He was going around visiting a few people. He was there last weekend. He left, went back home. They say as soon as he walked in the door, he fell over dead from a heart attack. But he had been up to a funeral. My mom had saw him. And he made a statement. He said, well, when I die, they just take me out and dump me out here in the lake somewhere. That'll be the end of it. And my mom said something to him. You know that ain't all there is to it. Oh, now, Sister Browning. You knew what she was talking about. Where is he at this morning? He died lost. He's in the regions of the lost. He's in the regions that Brother Branham described to us. Death is no respect of age. Many of you all have heard my father-in-law give testimony. How he was living wrong, running from God, wouldn't live right, wouldn't take care of his family. He said God took his 18-month-old daughter to get his attention. She took sick and died in a matter of days. 18 months old. 11 months old. Just right over, not even a year yet. And he says, he gives testimony today, God did that. Get his attention. Now, you know why God did that? Because Brother Bill belonged to God. And if you belong to God, God is not going to let you go. Something is going to stop you in your tracks. And if you don't belong to God, I wouldn't even want to think about that. But you need to shake yourself today. You ain't got no promise of tomorrow. You don't know how long you got left here. And you don't know what God might do to get a hold of you and get your attention. I used to think, when David was out there, I used to think one of these days I was going to get a call from Brother Jim, and David be up in the hospital dying. God's grace, that didn't happen. But I'll tell you this, the way I prayed, I was praying for that to happen, if that's what it took. I'm willing to pray that God brings you down to a deathbed just so I can get you saved. I'm willing to take that. I'll take that in a heartbeat, because I'm choosing that over eternity in hell for you. Hell is a real place. And there are people that are in hell today. And there are people that are dying today. I'm not discerning. I'm just looking at the statistics and the way the things are. There's, I forget how many people that die every day. And there's people going to hell today. And hell, Brother Branham said, is going to be a noisy place. Because the Bible says there's wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. You imagine the wails of lost souls falling through that dimension. Not a chance. They passed up their final opportunity. And they're lost. Can you imagine their wails? Lost. All hope utterly gone. Some of you here has had loved ones die and go to hell. And the next time you see them will be when they're standing at the white throne judgment. Be judged according to their deeds, were they done good or evil. To stand before the ultimate judge. And be judged how they live. Buddy, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be on that side. I don't want to be standing there before the ultimate God Almighty, Him knowing all things, and me stand there and say, God, I done some good stuff. Brother Branham said, when you're born, figuratively speaking, he said, there's a record being made of your life. And he said, there's a tape being made, what he said. And it's recording your life. And he says, when you're first born, there ain't too much going on. There ain't too much noise. But then as you get a little older, then there's things that are said. And as you get a little older, there's things that are done. And you get past the age of accountability, and then there's things that's done and said. There could be evil things. There could be good things. And that tape records until you die. He said, then God takes that tape and puts it in His library. And on the day of judgment, He said, your life will be played out on the screen of the skies for all to see. And you won't be able to deny what you've done or how you lived. And the opportunities you had to get right will play on that screen. And the Bible says the voice of many waters, which Brother Branham said was the voice of the preachers that were crying out against these things, when you sat in their meetings and heard their voices and rejected. And you went over the great cataract. But if you're under the blood, woo, hallelujah. If you're under the blood, then that tape is blank. Because the blood of Jesus Christ erases that thing. The love of Jesus is here today. I'm going to tell you what, you're witnessing God in all of his love. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, I've yielded myself to you. Lord, I give myself completely where you could come, dear God, and anoint this message that you placed on my heart, that it might go forth, and I pray, God, that it has shook the foundations of this church. Lord, you know each and every one of us. You know where we stand. Lord, I ask, God, may your angels move on the hearts this morning. May your spirit draw and beckon one more time. Lord, these spirits are real. Sing his song, Mountains of Mercy.